Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. Obviously, this is not Pastor John Lutz, so truth in advertising. This is Pastor Al Davis filling in for Pastor John Lutz this afternoon. He had an obligation this afternoon, had to be away, and he should be with us again next time. But in the meanwhile, I'm filling in. Of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and also host of Live with Pastor Al, which comes on at 1:30, so I'll be here at 1 o'clock, and then again at 1:30. We're also on every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until midnight, so I appreciate Pastor Lutz giving me the opportunity to fill in, and I want to take the opportunity to thank him for filling in for me last Sunday night. A lot of people, it's hard to get people to come out, you know, on a Sunday night to fill in on the radio, especially from 10 o'clock until midnight. And I came down with something last weekend following Bible study at our church. And I was out for the whole weekend, wasn't able to even make it to church or preach or anything. And Pastor Lutz was able to fill in for me last Sunday night on the program for all 2 hours there. And he did a great job, as always. And occasionally he fills in for me on our Friday afternoon program as well. And on occasion, we even do some combined shows together. So he's a good friend, and I appreciate his ministry there in Lakewood, and appreciate his ministry here on the radio and his willingness to step in as well and to allow me to fill in for him occasionally as well. I listened to the program last Sunday night just to make sure he was on good behavior, and he did well. And so I imagine he'll do the same to me. But I'm thankful he gave me the opportunity to be on here today. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and I'll be filling in today. And I was looking at some things, and I don't know if this was an outgrowth of being ill or something, but eternal security kind of came to my mind. I was thinking about it, and I had looked at some other things to talk about here during the program today, and I kept coming back to this idea of eternal security. And so I thought, well, Lord, you know, you're leading in that direction. Why don't we head off right there? So that's kind of what we're going to be looking at today. And I think it's a very important thing. I'm going to look at a number of passages, and I'll be looking at one passage in John chapter 10 in particular, and then also another passage in Hebrews chapter 10. So we'll compare John 10 and Hebrews 10, or contrast them maybe, or see how they fare together. And we'll be looking at some other passages as well. So if you want to put a marker in your Bible at Hebrews 10 and also at John chapter 10, we'll be coming to those in just a minute. Also wanted to make mention that on our program, Live with Pastor Al, I've been over the last few months, actually, because it's been hit and miss because of different guests and different topics and things happening in the world around us coming up, but I've been talking about the events leading up to the millennial kingdom of Christ. And so we'll be picking up in that, continuing on with the millennial kingdom, and eventually we're making our way to the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. And that's where we're headed there in the 1:30 at the Live with Pastor Al program. So just to let you know what's coming up. All right, well, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll take a look at this here this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Pray that you watch over Brother Lutz and the things that he needs to get done today. And again, thank you for the opportunity to fill in. Thank you that he filled in for me last Sunday night, Lord. Continue to bless now, we pray. Use the program for your glory today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I wanted to mention you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about me and our program there as well. But I'm just going to jump right into some things here today. And because of being under the weather and all that, I've had some time on my hands, but I also, oddly enough, have not spent as much time in the actual current events type stuff going on. I had some time to read some other, catch up on some other reading and some different things, and there are just sometimes I just didn't feel like doing much of anything. I just sort of had to sit in the chair and just kind of contemplating some things and praying and thinking about some things in the Bible. And I kept coming back a little bit on this idea of eternal security. And, you know, I've heard some people say that you have eternal security so long as you're in Christ. And I thought, well, so long as you're in Christ, what does that mean? And the idea was that, well, you can get out of Christ's hand, or you can get out somehow out of Christ's presence, or something like that, and then you won't have eternal security. But when you're in Christ, you have eternal security. So this is where we'll start with John chapter 10, the Gospel of John, the words of Jesus here. And Jesus makes a very clear statement here in John chapter 10, starting in verse number 28 or 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Okay, now that's John chapter 10. And that was, let's see here, my Bible back over here. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Now, if you'll hold your finger there and go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And let us go down to verse number 26 here. Hebrews chapter 10, starting verse 26. The Bible says, for if we sin willfully after that we have not received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, this is an interesting passage here, and the idea with Hebrews chapter 10, and this is, I believe, Paul writing here, and some people would say, well, this is not Jesus writing, so it's not as authoritative of Hebrew or of John chapter 10, where Jesus was actually speaking, since this is only Paul writing here. Well, I beg to differ, because my Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture, whether it's the Gospel of John or the book of Hebrews, or, for that matter, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, which means all Scripture, just exactly what it says, all Scripture. John chapter 10, recording the words of Jesus, John was actually the writer there, but he was writing and producing the Scripture that was given to him by inspiration of God. God literally breathed out the Scriptures to John to write the words of Jesus in John chapter 10. But likewise, in Hebrews chapter 10, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, Paul was inspired by the Spirit of God who breathed out the words of God into Paul, so that Paul wrote the very words of God in Hebrews chapter 10. So Hebrews chapter 10 is just as authoritative as John chapter 10. Even though the words in John chapter 10 are attributed to Christ himself, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, so all Scripture is the Word of God, or the words of God. And as Paul continued here in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we have the words of God, whether they stem from the pen of John as he's writing what Jesus said, or whether they stem from Paul as he's given the words of God that were given to him by the Spirit of God. So John chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, both authoritative, the Word of God. And so let's see if we can figure this out a little bit. You know, some people try to say that in Hebrews chapter 10, this is talking about somebody losing their salvation. But yet in John chapter 10, Jesus clearly said that you'll not lose your salvation. Is this a contradiction in the scripture? Well, let's take a look at this. Let me review John chapter 10 here just a little bit again. Notice the words that Jesus uses when he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them," what? "Eternal life." Now, eternal life, what is the definition of eternal? It's without end, isn't it? If eternal life had an end to it, if it was going to come to an end, it would not be eternal, would it? I mean, that goes without saying, doesn't it? And guess what? Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life." So God is the one who has given it to us, eternal life, life without end. And then he says, "And they shall never perish." Now, never perish. I know that can be a confusing phrase to somebody. It's kind of ambiguous, isn't it? Never perish. It's very clear. It's very clear. Never means not ever. They will not ever perish. And that makes sense because if you have eternal life, then you will never perish because you have eternal life. And if that's not clear enough, Jesus continued, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, here is where the problem comes in for the people who believe that you can get out of Jesus' hand somehow and lose your salvation. What would it entail to lose your salvation? You would have to be plucked out of Jesus' hand. Because he said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And then the further reinforcement, he says, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And he claimed unity with God the Father because he is God the Son. And so he's claiming to be deity here. He's claiming to be God. And he says that he gives us eternal life and that we're in his hand. We'll never perish. Nobody can pluck us out of his hand. And God the Father, who is greater than all, is responsible for this. "No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So if we're in the hand of the Son, we're in the hand of the Father. Now, by my way of reading this, it tells me that the only way you could be plucked out of God's hand is if you were somehow greater than God. Now, I think most people, sensible people looking at this, would recognize the fact that we are not greater than God. Not any one of us, not any collective of us is greater than God. Every single person that you know, including yourself, exists as an, as an infinitely small speck in the infinite vastness of the all-powerful being that we know as God. We exist somewhere in his infinite being. And there is no way that we can exceed the size of God. So that pretty much leaves anybody out that can pluck us out of their hand. Well, I've heard people say, well, you can pluck yourself out. That just refers to others. No, I'm sorry. He said, "Neither shall any man." So if I'm going to pluck myself out of the Lord's hand, I'm a man. And it says any man, neither shall any man. That means me. I can't pluck myself. And if I did pluck myself out of his hand, where would I be? Well, I'm still in the Father's hand because no one is greater than the Father, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, Jesus said. So it's very clear in John chapter 10, in verses 27 through 30, that we have eternal life. Eternal life will never perish, and no one is going to pluck them out of the Savior's, out of the God the Son, Jesus Christ's hand, our Savior, or the Father's hand, God the Father. In order to do so, we would have to be able to overpower God, be greater than God. No, he says, God is greater than all. This is a hard thing for some people to concept for some people to handle sometimes, I think, but when you let the plain sense of Scripture make common sense, why would you seek any other sense? It's very clear. The language is very clear. You know, we see that even in things such as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us, or gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have what? Well, you know, we have the phrase there that God has given us everlasting life. In fact, in the verse before that, in John chapter 3, and verse 16, but in verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So there's eternal life in verse 15. There's everlasting life in verse 16. And, you know, this is what the Bible says. This is what Jesus said. Now, I am not going to call Jesus a liar. Jesus promised that I would have eternal life. Jesus promised that I would have everlasting life. Jesus promised that I would never perish. Jesus promised that no man could pluck me out of his hand. Now, if Jesus lied, then I guess I could lose my salvation based on that. It's very clear here. We have eternal life. We have everlasting life. Now, before we get over to Hebrews chapter 10 here in just a moment, let me just remind something here. There is the thought that some have that Jesus really didn't mean it when he said that he gave us eternal life or everlasting life. He really didn't mean it when he said that we would never perish and that no one would pluck us out of his hand, what he really meant instead is that the potential existed for these things, which means that in John chapter 10, in this passage, he really should have said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them the potential of eternal life, and they shall possibly never perish, and maybe neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? No, absolutely not. It's not what it says. He did not say that he gave us the potential for eternal life, the possibility of never perishing, and the possibility that nobody would ever pluck us out of his hand, as long as certain conditions are met, of course. No, he very clearly said he gave us eternal life. Now, people say, well, yes, he did, but when you lose it, you no longer have it. Well, then it wasn't eternal. Now, here, because we exist within the infinite being of God, and because God exists at all times, past, present, and future, you know, we're creatures of the present. We're always on a journey from the past, headed to the future, but we always live in the present. God is not limited in that fashion. Every moment of time is just as real to God as any other moment of time because all of time exists within the being of God. And so past, present, and future exists within the being of God. This, without getting into an in-depth discussion of it, is how God knows how things are going to turn out while at the same time still allowing us free choice. Just because he knows how it's going to turn out doesn't mean he predetermines that that's how it's going to turn out, like the Calvinists suggest, although he can do that, and in some cases he does, but he gives us free choice. And so when we choose to put our faith in Christ, believing that Jesus paid for our sins, then he gave us not the potential for eternal life, but eternal life. Now, if I could lose that eternal life at a later point, then Jesus, as God, would know that I didn't really get eternal life. I only got the potential for it, and that it really wasn't even a potential because at some point in the future I was going to lose it. So he never gave me eternal life in the first place. He only gave me sort of a nascent eternal life-like promise that only lasted until I lost my salvation. So it was never eternal. It certainly wasn't everlasting. It came to an end. And I would perish, and he would know that. Now, let me run over to Hebrews chapter 10, because we're going to run out of time here. But in Hebrews chapter 10, people say, well, no, this proves that you can lose your salvation. This proves if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth here in Hebrews 10, verse 26, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. This is clearly teaching that you're going to lose your salvation, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Excuse me. This is clearly showing you lose your salvation. No, it's not. This is the picture of someone who comes under the conviction of their sin and has their heart open to the truth of the gospel message. This is not talking about somebody who is saved, but rather somebody who is not saved, who now becomes aware of the knowledge of the truth. This is very similar to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, where the Bible says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Say, well, but Pastor Al, there again, says you can lose your salvation. No. Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 6 are similar because both of them address the case of an unsaved person who becomes enlightened to see the truth of the gospel message and then chooses to reject it. That's the sinning willingly after they receive the knowledge of the truth, not salvation, but the knowledge of the truth. Remember, the unsaved individual cannot understand the things of God. The unsaved individual, the natural man, the Bible says, receives not the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. And so being dead to God, the natural man cannot understand the gospel message. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So how does the natural man, who's blinded to the truth of the Scripture, understand the gospel message in the first place? Well, the Calvinists, they can't understand it. So they said, well, God saves them. Now that they're saved, they can understand spiritual things. They can understand the gospel message, and they can read and hear and come under conviction and pray and put their faith in Christ and be saved. Well, that doesn't make sense. If you're saved, why do you have to be saved again? No, that's not what it is. What it is the natural man is lost in darkness. The God of this world's blinded their eyes. They do not see spiritual truth. We pray for the unsaved. And when we're praying for them, the Spirit of God moves upon the heart, the dark heart of the unsaved person. Much like in the beginning when the earth was in darkness in Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God said, what? Let there be light. And God brings light, enlightenment, into the heart of the unsaved person. And now they've received the knowledge of the truth. They are enlightened. They have tasted, but not become saved. They've tasted of the heavenly gift. They've been made partakers of the Holy Ghost because the Spirit of God is ministering to them. They've tasted the good word of God, and they've tasted of the powers of the world to come. They now see what salvation is. They know that they are a sinner, that they are lost without Christ. They know that Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation, that he shed his blood to pay for their sin. Their eyes are open, and now will they accept Christ or will they reject him? If they accept Christ, then they're saved. They put their faith in Christ, believing, and Jesus gloriously saves you. But if not, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries, because they now know the truth. I hope you know Christ as your Savior today. I hope you're not one of these ones that's been, your eyes have been opened, you're enlightened, you know the truth, but you also know you're not saved. If you know you're not saved, why don't you put your faith in Christ today? Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Join us in the next half hour as well.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.